paganism ruled over the land, and the light, even of civilization, but faintly shone. There lived a king in Denmark whose name has not descended to later times. Yet he governed a fair country and possessed much power. At the period of this story, he was in the decline of life and had been 20 years a widower. His only child was a daughter, the beautiful Rusha, whose mother had died in giving her birth. In all of the neighboring kingdoms, the fame of Princess Rusha's beauty was widely spread, and many were the noble suitors for her hand. But the princess was proud and imperious as fair. She rejected every proposal of marriage and treated her lovers with so much scorn that almost all were incited to hate and speak ill of her. She thus raised up enemies on every side. The old king was much incensed at this conduct and sharply reproved his daughter.
"Was it not enough," he said, "that you would not choose one of your suitors, but they must be repulsed with such bitter contempt? Your haughty bearing and evil tongue have converted these friends into foes. Murmur not, therefore, at what I will do. I am old and feeble. A few years, and I must depart from this earth to take my place among the heroes of Valhalla and drink the mead of Odin. You are young and a woman. Who will shield you when I am gone from the powerful warriors, your enemies? By the hammer of Thor do I swear you will choose a husband who may be your protector and king in my place. If you still refuse to do this, I swear by Odin's golden horn, out of which heroes drink, I will name me a successor. I will not suffer you, ungrateful girl, to rule my people according to your own capricious will."
When the king had spoken, he went out, leaving the princess alone. Her face was crimson with anger, and her blue eyes flashed resentment. She paced the room for some time with unquiet steps, for the thought that the sovereignty might be wrested from her was too painful for her to bear. At length, she threw herself into a seat and sat long, with her fair head drooped on her hands. Then, starting up, as if she had suddenly formed a resolution, she retired to her own apartment. For many days after, the old king showed much severity toward his daughter, and his harsh rebukes were frequent. At length, she informed him she was willing to choose a consort.
"Let all the neighboring princes and nobles, and those who have sought me in marriage," she said, "be invited to the court, that I may make choice among them."
But her father answered,
"Not so, by Odin and Freyla. The princes and nobles of the neighboring countries have no longer any pleasure in you. I counsel you to choose one of your own kinsmen. What about Bew the Stout, or Eric, or Sved the Squinter?"
The princess curled her haughty lip in scorn and answered not. But after some days she signified her choice. The person she selected was not among her rejected suitors. It was Tok Jarl, surnamed the Slender. He was of princely descent, possessed a large patrimony of land, and was moreover distinguished for courage and manly beauty. He was richer than Rusha's own kinsman, so that the old king made no objections to his becoming the husband of his daughter and his declared successor. He dispatched messengers to Tok Jarl to announce to him his good fortune. Tok was well pleased with the intelligence and praised the blue eyes and the ripe judgment of the princess. He ordered some of his best horses and his finest oxen to be led as a present to the king, with thanks for the honor done him, and announced that he would the next day present himself as a suitor before the beautiful Rusha, who should never have reason to repent her choice. The marriage was celebrated with due splendor at the king's castle, where